is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, Martin Breheny and Manus Boyle on why another head-to-head with Armagh this Sunday may actually work to Donegal's advantage. Drumshambo's Ricky Wynne on his plan to run up and down Croagh-Patrick continuously for 24 hours. Liam Kerrigan and the Republic of Ireland under-21 soccer team have qualified for the European playoffs tonight. Plus, Sligo Leitrim girls under-14s are through to the quarterfinals of the Gaynor Cup in Limerick. And the draw for the last eight of the Gaynor Cup takes place in the next hour. Not sure if we'll have that for you before we go off air, but we will bring it to you on the Ocean FM Sport Twitter feed. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Here are the contact details. 083 350 530 by text or by WhatsApp. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. And you'll find us right now on Twitter at Ocean FM Sport. Well, in the past hour, Sligo Leitrim girls under 14 soccer players have finished top of Group 3 in the prestigious Gaynor Cup in Limerick at the University of Limerick. This is one of the main national interleague underage soccer competitions nationally. They enjoyed a 3-0 win this evening against Inish Owen. Goals from Mackenzie Reynolds, Leslie Ann Sweeney and Shona McGrath saw them finish top of their group on 10 points and they're into the last 8. Donegal were beaten by Wexford by a 1-0 in the same group in their final match. The quarterfinal draw is going to be made at about 9 o'clock tonight and it'll be live on the FAI Schoolgirls Facebook page if you want to watch it unfold. Also, the Republic of Ireland men's under-21 team have secured their first ever playoff place in a European under-21 championship qualification campaign. Jim Crawford's side can still win the group and qualify automatically for next summer's finals if they beat Italy next Tuesday. But Ireland are guaranteed now at the very least a second place finish in Group F, and that's after Sweden and Italy drew their match this evening 1-1 in Helsingborg. Ireland's 4 wins in a row, which included a goal for Trouble Curry's Liam Kerrigan earlier this week. They scored 9 goals in those last 4 games, conceding just once, and that's propelled them into qualification contention. Kerrigan scoring in Monday's 3-1 win against Montenegro in Tala, and that has seen this current under-21 side equal the record amount of points, 19, for an Irish under-21 team in a qualification campaign. Well, in Gaelic games, this Sunday is do or die for Donegal and Armagh in the All-Ireland Senior Football Qualifiers. Here's Conor Breslin with tonight's Donegal GAA podcast.
Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Oh, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, thank you. Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you, nothing but a couple of pints, won't you, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over.
Well, welcome to the show. It's the Donegal GAA podcast on Ocean FM. Conor Breslin here. Well, we are just days away from round 2 in Clonus, the heavyweight clash. Donegal will once again face off against Armagh in the championship, with the winners advancing to the All-Ireland quarterfinal in Croke Park. Throw-in for this game will occur this Sunday at 4 p.m. and we'll be bringing you match commentary live on Ocean FM. To help preview this match between these two Ulster giants, I'm delighted to be joined by All-Ireland winner from 1992 and Killybegs native Manus Boyle, and author and sports writer with the Irish Independent, Martin Breheny. Lads, I hope you're both keeping well.
Going fine, Colin.
All good.
Good. Well, I suppose we'll start off with the mood in Donegal at the moment. Manus, it's now or never for both these two teams. The first battle in Ballybofey in no way lived up to the expectation, I suppose, that we thought of. Donegal totally dominant in the game and running out easy winners that day about a month and a half ago. But I suppose Armagh always had the solace of a backdoor to rely on, but this time it's just pure knockout stuff and nowhere to hide. So what are we going to see different from this game coming up on Sunday to what we saw a month and a half ago in Ballybofey?
I suppose, looking back on Armagh's performance against Tyrone, you would have to say they didn't bring that to Ballybofey 6 weeks ago. I know they did a lot of changes from the two games. They started five different than what they started in Ballybofey. But they played more of a running game. They didn't kick the ball as much, Connor. They used the running power, especially Stephen Campbell, who was probably one of his best games, I would say, in the Armagh jersey. And they used his strong running game, and they worked extremely hard. They kept it wide, but they kept the ball safe probably a lot more than they did against Ballybofey. I think maybe they thought coming to Ballybofey will catch Donegal on the long ball, and Ballybofey's tight enough pitch to do that on, and they got caught out a couple of times. But their performance level against Armagh against Tyrone was way better than it was against Donegal in the first game. And when you look at Donegal's performance against Armagh 6 weeks ago and the Donegal performance against Derry, you would have to say it was nowhere near where it needed to be.
And how's the mood since then in Donegal, since coming back from that bitter defeat in Clonus that day?
Well, I suppose, you just have to shake it off and get at it again, Connor, and that's the way the players will approach it. They know that they were going to get a second chance. Hopefully the injuries that they had before and after the Ulster final are well cleared up, that it gives them another opportunity. But needless to say, they're going in on probably a bit of a downer, where I think Armagh will go there with more confidence maybe than they went to Ballybofey with.
Yeah, and listen, talking of Armagh, we can talk about all the formats and structures of the championship we want later on, but the fact that Armagh had to only beat one team and they're currently in the same position as Donegal is quite interesting, to say the least. But I don't know, maybe is it just me, Martin? Did we expect Armagh to be here, not based on their performance alone, but perhaps looking at Tyrone? I know they had a very bad season, but we probably thought they'd eventually try to kick it into gear and get their season off to a flyer. But the interesting thing about sport is that doesn't happen.
Yeah, the question is, which are we to believe? The Armagh team that looked world beaters at inverted commas last Sunday, or the team that were well beaten by Donegal? And I think there's always a great tendency, and this happens in every sport, to be either fiercely impressed by the last thing you've seen or fiercely deflated by the last thing you've seen. Now, after the Donegal game against Armagh, all the talk about Armagh didn't raise a gallop. What had gone wrong? This was the same old Armagh, couldn't perform at the Ulster Championship. And conversely, of course, then Donegal were supposed to be on the ready to just take the title. Now, Armagh are, after one win against the Tyrone team, and I wrote on the Independent on Wednesday, that was the worst defence by any All-Ireland champions since the qualifiers came in. We can't judge to any great degree before that, because teams could get caught on a one-off, whatever. But since 2001, that was the worst performance. Only one other team didn't get to the All-Ireland quarter-final as they tried to defend the title the following year. And that was Tyrone themselves in 2006, a year that were ravaged by injuries. Eventually, they lost, oddly enough, to Derry in Ulster, lost to Laois in Port Laois, good Laois team at the time, but they were ravaged by injuries. But they put up a hell of a fight. Tyrone didn't last week. So I'm not sure we can read as much into the Tyrone-Armagh game as perhaps people are doing. And you look at it as they stand at the moment. Donegal won the last, comfortably against Armagh. If Donegal win, it's highly probable that Mayo will beat Kildare and Roscommon will beat Clare, in which case Galway couldn't play Mayo or Roscommon. So there's a high probability that Donegal could end up playing Galway or Cork, for instance, so in a quarterfinal, and possibly Derry in a semi-final. So if I were in Donegal's position, I'd be a lot more optimistic about this than seems to be the mood in the county. That's inevitable after the way they played, and after the losing the Ulster final. Although, again, they were beaten in extra time. People tend to forget that. So I think there's a lot more for Donegal to look forward to than perhaps the mood in the county seems to suggest at the moment.
Yeah, just staying with that, it's very interesting what you say about Tyrone, because, look, we don't know what goes on in the dressing room behind closed doors. But for Tyrone, losing seven players, you know, surely that's the defining point that maybe ultimately affected their season. I think I have the stat here in front of me, you know, played 12 matches, they only won four. McShane never really hit form this season. You know, McGeary not starting there the last day. All these little things just seem to have added fuel to the fire.
Well, they left, but certainly last Sunday, they looked like a team that once, I mean, they got an early goal, but once they started going away from them, once Tyrone ratcheted up the pressure on them, to be honest, they looked like a team that wanted to get out of there. They really didn't, they didn't defend their All-Ireland title with anything like the degree that you expect All-Ireland champions to defend it. Or certainly Tyrone, noted for all their the history of GAA Tyrone, for their doggedness and their fight and their defiance. It wasn't there last Sunday. So inevitably, because Tyrone beat the All-Ireland champions, they say why Armagh have arrived, etc., etc. We'll see. I personally would remain to be convinced. I must say phone going there. I personally remain to be convinced that Armagh are as good as they're meant out to be after last Sunday.
Yeah, Manus, what's your sense on it? Was it that Armagh just so vastly improved in the past month? Or did Tyrone just have one of those days when nothing was going right? I mean, you know, me and you talked about the matchups off air, like Stephen Campbell. I mean, Aidan Nugent just ran riot, so they did in the first half, so they did last week. And it almost took them 40 minutes for Tyrone to kind of stop them forwards just breaking lines. And by that stage, I think they were just playing catch-up. I think Nugent had 1-1, we talked about. And was involved in so much more play. But the interesting thing about Kieran McGeaney is once his starting 15 go quiet, he just hauls them off, so he does, and he brings in the impact subs, which is something he didn't do against Donegal.
Yeah, he certainly did do that against Tyrone when Nugent got quiet. I understand that where the criticism would come on Tyrone, especially after winning the All-Ireland last year, but I think the quick turnaround this year and the way that the games are compressed into 4 or 5 months doesn't allow players, and I mean, when you won in All-Ireland, there is a sense that you celebrate it, that you're asked to functions, you're asked to attend certain things, and that will go on for 6 to 8 months after you won it. These players are probably still on that high. They're probably still being asked to do stuff, and such is the world we live in. There's great financial benefits to do that, and if they get it, you know, they're quite entitled to go and get it. I think last year Tyrone, they got a break because they used COVID kind of sense after the Ulster final, and they got a lot more training and then there was a wee bit of hunger. Maybe one in that All-Ireland just took away a slight bit of hunger, but I've no doubt Tyrone will come back again. But it probably summed it up that the player of the year last year, McGeary, didn't make the starting 15 against Armagh, which in the past the Armagh Tyrone games have been one of the most hostile games that you like. I would actually have went to an Armagh Tyrone game years ago when I was playing for Donegal just to get the atmosphere and what it was like, maybe to go up into Omagh or even up to Armagh itself, you know, and they were hostile and we didn't get that last Sunday. And maybe that was just fatigue on part of Tyrone and the players after a long year. They probably hadn't got the same squad as the Dublin had for 5 or 6 years, that when a player needed to do X, Y, and Z, that another player of that ability to come in and do it. So, you know, I wouldn't be so hard on Tyrone, but I do think that McGeaney was under a lot of pressure to get a performance out of his players last Sunday, because the criticism from the Armagh public and certainly past players in Armagh, they weren't happy with the manner of the defeat in Balbofey. Not the defeat itself, but the manner in which they were defeated and the manner in which they just died a death in the last 10 minutes. They were devoid of ideas. They were devoid of a plan B. And McGinney didn't seem to have an answer for that. But to be fair to Kieran, he's a resolute character, and he doesn't bend for anybody. And he came back. He made five changes for the game against Tyrone. Four out of that five scored, and two lads that he took on as subs scored. So maybe the squad is a wee bit stronger than it was 6 weeks ago. We don't know, had the injuries coming into the Donegal game, what was their form like? There was a bit of a battle in Ballyfey. There was some boys going to be suspended. Then that can all take its toll. But I do believe that Armagh definitely were a better improvement, even by the style of play that they played and their enthusiasm and their pace against Tyrone. That never was there against Donegal. From a Donegal perspective, the only way to stop that is to be more combative up front, which we haven't been. We've relied a lot on McBearty and Murphy all through this campaign, and even Murphy the last day, probably with an ankle injury, the word is, and he was just situated around the middle of the field with very little movement. He was still the go-to player when we needed something to go right. We hadn't got the best out of everybody else. To be fair, Christy McKeag marked Paddy out of the match the last day, but such is his influence, you cannot take him off, because when the opportunity comes on his side, if he does get a half yard, he's going to take that. I'm not sure that Armagh have somebody like Christy McKeag to mark Paddy. I don't think they have that type of player in their arsenal of players. And I think Donegal will go back to the running game, but I think they will be reliant again on the usual suspects: Owen Bann at centre half, Murphy in the middle of the field, and McBearty. Hopefully Langan and Shane O'Donnell come in with a few more scores, and hopefully we get the same response we got from Patter Mogan in the first half of the Ulster final, where he was the most outstanding player in the green and gold.
Yeah, I find it interesting you as a Donegal player going to the Athletic Grounds or Oma for a Tyrone Armagh game during those hostile times. But looking at Armagh, looking at these styles of play, Armagh looked very innocent, weak, and maybe timid, one for a better word, when they played Donegal the first day out. They didn't have Kieran Mackin. We said that he came off the bench the last day. A big lesson from Armagh was obviously the first day they bought into these fisticuff mind games, as you just mentioned, Manus. That probably all played in the background with suspensions and with Malise all in the background. But this is very different now, you'd have to say, Martin. I mean, it's real hammer and tong stuff. And what we've seen from Donegal in the past with the Super 8s against Tyrone, against Mayo, when they get to this stage in the championship, the nerves and the fear just seem to get the better of them.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there's no escape route now, and they've simply got to deliver. I think, that maybe the style of play, and I read Miles's piece about it on the, I think it was Donegal Democrat, the week after the game, and he was making the point about that's the style Donegal played, club football, etc. But, it was always, to some degree, a style Donegal played, although back in Miles's days, when they had the three killer bees, Bonner and the two boys inside, they worked to getting the ball into them, and they've got to do that more. I mean, it's just impossible to understand why passing the ball out around. I know the game has changed and all, but out beyond the 45 over and back, somebody's got to take a chance sometime, and I think Donegal, they have to take more chances now, because there's no escape now. But I wouldn't be too sure about that if they get to this stage of the championship that. It's still around before the quarterfinals, so maybe when they get to the quarterfinals or whatever in the past, they haven't quite been good enough. Maybe that's the explanation. But here, this is a chance against another Ulster team, who, by the way, I think have only won 6 out of 20 matches against other fellow Ulster teams in the championship over the last 10 or 12 years. So I think there's a lot more for Donegal, but they've got to take it on more. I think it felt against they it was almost as if they showed too much respect to Derry. Really, I mean, Derry had beaten Tyrone. And that sort of gave them a status that perhaps Donegal were the team that have been in the Ulster finals, 11 of the last 12 years or whatever the figure is. And I felt that perhaps gave them too much respect. I mean, Galway went up to Derry and rattled four goals past them, so they took them on. And I think that's what Donegal possibly should have done a little bit more of. And they've got to do it. Don't let they can't let Armagh play, because Armagh can mix it. They're good at the short game, but they're good at the quick long ball too. But Donegal have got to set the agenda. They're the more experienced team. They beat them before. They beat them in the league. They've got to set the agenda and set themselves out there and say, "We're going for this." And don't overdo the. Don't try to counter. Don't be living off the counter. Try and set the agenda, because that's what they've got to do. And if they do, I think they'll raise questions about Armagh that Tyrone certainly didn't.
Would it not be, though, along the lines that if you look at the Ulster final, Derry forced Donegal almost to play into that snooze fest? I mean, you know, they do go back to say it takes two to tango, you know, and if a team forces you to play that way, you're going to play that way and play the patient game.
Yes, of course, absolutely. But why were they able to set the agenda? That's the question. I mean, this is where Manus would understand this an awful lot better than I would. But I mean, the psychology of this was we're Donegal. I mean, we have more experience at Ulster final day, and of course, but they knew exactly how Derry were going to play. Derry worked out how they would counter their counter plan for that, and it worked out that way. Having said that, they still went to extra time, and inevitably, when the underdogs win, there's always a case of they got everything right and the favourites got it wrong. It was still level at the end of normal time, so there was that war between the teams. So I think Donegal just got to be a little more assertive, more self confident, put the chest out there and say our record certainly against Armagh is very good. We got to go and take them on and set the agenda. And the point you make, Conor, is right. If they allow that to happen against Derry, that Derry set the agenda, well then. You've got to have a way of making sure that doesn't happen again against Armagh, because if they do, they're out.
Manus, would you go along with that? You've been there more than me and Martin anyways. Would you agree with that aspect of it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the psychology around, you set the tempo at the start of the game. You know, if you want to slow the game down, you slow it down. If you want to quicken it up, you quicken it up. But you plan that during the week. You plan that in your training sessions running up to that game. Some teams that you play, you know, like to play the game at their pace. They like it slow. Well, that's the team that you quicken it up. Armagh will be nervous about playing Donegal. In the back of their mind, Donegal hammered them out the gate in Malveface 6 weeks ago. So that's in their mind. So Donegal have to play on that. And I have no doubt that Declan Bonner and his management team this week have looked at the way Tyrone, or the way that Armagh played against Tyrone, will looked at the way Armagh played against Donegal. And they know it's going to be something in between. But Martin's correct. If I had one criticism on Donegal for the Ulster final, it was that they allowed Derry to do that.
Yeah, like one thing, sorry for cutting across here, like what I find very interesting, it said Donegal created their own piece of history in the Ulster final, that they were the first ever inter-county senior team to play for penalties. I mean, that brings on serious criticism. And no matter what way the two teams play against each other, I know they say it's like a game of chess, but I mean, when that comes upon you, I mean, there must be something wrong, you would say, in your style of play.
Yeah, I think Donegal are trying to, especially under Declan Bonner, they came from the McGuinness era that had a definite way of playing, and that was everybody behind the ball, and they were slow to transition forward. Where Declan has tried to implement where they're quicker to transition forward, and they don't take everybody back. When Derry took everybody back in the Ulster final, you have to combat that with a mirror image. But when you break quickly. And Donegal didn't do that. They broke slowly. They didn't use the kick pass. They didn't get a flyer, the likes of Morgan or Shane O'Donnell up front into the space and kick the ball into the space at any time. I mean, there was a couple of moments where I think one ball was given into Caelan McGonigal, and he probably tried to fist it on instead of catching it. He could have caught it and turned. But that's easy from the sideline watching that. But it was so rare for them to do that. And Derry struggled with that. And also, you know, they allowed Rodgers dictate in the middle of the field, where if we'd have placed, Kieran Thompson, Langan, Caelan McGonigal on the edge of the square, if Murphy wasn't fit to go to the edge of the square, then that would have made Derry take Rodgers back. And sometimes, we're hesitant to do that because of the culture has come from the McGuinness area and keeping the ball safe, keeping the ball all the time. We're reluctant, as Martin rightly said, to take a chance. And that's something we have to work on, and definitely something that we have to change. And definitely for Sunday against Armagh, we're going to have to change it, because the Armagh full back line is not that tall, and Donegal have probably a bigger set of forwards. When I say forwards, I'm talking about Langan Thompson, Gillon McGonigal, Jason McGee, Michael Murphy, than that five that could find themselves at full forward at any time, or even two of them inside, maybe with Hugh McFadden. And they have to be prepared to put that, launch that ball in and be prepared to lose it, you know, maybe 5 out of 10, but it's the 5 you get that can make the difference at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think one word that, or the word that has kind of described Donegal all season, they've been Jekyll and Hyde, and I'm always conscious when I go into this realm, but it, I suppose it has to be mentioned, and that's the pressure under both managers now. Martin, the pressure for Kieran McGeaney on Sunday must have been huge. I mean, he's been there since 2015, and there was so much talk about that if Armagh lost, that would have probably been the end of his time as manager. That pressure might be off him a bit now, I'm not too sure, but there's no denying that in terms of his managerial career, that was one of the biggest success. But likewise, in terms of pressure, we're probably saying the exact same about Declan Boner, and they were certainly out to get him after the Ulster final.
Well, you're saying that about every manager now, virtually, sometimes in their first season. I mean, there was pressure on Brian Cody, apparently. this, and of course, we live at the age now, of course, of social media, and I'm sure Manus is glad he wasn't playing in that era. And you know, when you see what's going on, I can well imagine. But it's of course that's pressure. But you know, if Armagh lose, they still won't have got past got into the last 12 again. So I mean, I would have thought that you said maybe I don't think beating Tyrone would necessarily be enough. I'm not saying to keep for Kieran to stay in Rome, but certainly the question will be asked. Yeah, a question will be asked of Declan as well. Before you start dealing with managers or changing managers, you've got to ask, well, what's the alternative here?
Who's next?
Yeah, well, it's got to be done on a calm, systematic, scientific basis. And perhaps it is a time for change in a county where teams have been, managers have been in position a long time. But, you know, I don't think it's probably all that helpful to be talking about removing managers at this stage, as they're both preparing for this massive contest, because this gets them into the quarterfinals. And as I said earlier, after that, oddly enough, it might get easier. Who knows? After when they get out of the what is the Ulster Bear Pit? It's amazing actually that of all the possibilities there were for both counties to draw this, that they've ended up playing each other again. But I suppose it adds this round. But yeah, there are pressures. There will be pressures on whichever manager loses. But that's why I suppose they've got to work and make sure that I'm not the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Manus, I know it's very hard for you to say an ex-teammate of yours inside and an ex-manager as well. But I think is it just maybe as Paddy O'Shea once called GA fans hungry so-and-sos? And it is the disappointment after an Ulster final, but the criticism was, many would say fair, many would say harsh, many would say not harsh enough. I recall one person mentioned to me that Donegal's style of football would be along the lines of Margaret Thatcher's government. They said it was conservative. And that's not a nice thing to hear if you're the coach or the manager of that team.
Yeah, I always, when I hear criticisms on managers, I always go back to something that Kevin Cassidy said after they got bit by Armagh, oddly enough, in a backdoor game. He said that once the players cross the white line, they're responsible. I've always held Cassidy up for that, because he was the only one on the day that took responsibility for what was clearly a poor performance by the players. Now, you can point to a manager to say that he didn't prepare them properly, but that was never the case. Teams have always been prepared to a high enough level. And as I often listen to Joe Brawley and listen to other players, ex-players, when they talk about managers, I'm not sure who said it, but they said that they never seen a manager kick a score, block a ball, or field a ball in the middle of any game in order to win it or to lose it. Players do that, and the players that we have in Donegal are committed to the highest level, and I have no doubt that hunger and that enthusiasm and that commitment will shine through And because the criticism, while it will hit Declan Bonner hard, the criticism on the players is even harder, because they're the ones that are putting in the hard nights, the hard training, and making unbearable sacrifices at times, you know, when you look at an amateur game. So they will have hurt the most. And so I would expect a reaction on Sunday from Donegal, and especially because I know a lot of the players involved, and that's the kind of individuals they are, and I've no doubt it'll be a good reaction.
But Conor, just one point, can I just on Alan's point there, how often do you watch the Sunday game, or indeed the BBC coverage, or Sky Sports, and pundits will say something at halftime, and they'll have shades of grey and green, and the beautiful graphics to show exactly why the manager and his setup was either right or wrong. Always, by the way, the manager who's a point ahead is right, and the manager who's a point down is wrong. And those same punters can change at the end of the game. So Mance is 100% right. It's so easy. It's a team loses. We have to find a fall guy. It's the manager. It always is. But and one point can be the difference. And yet the manager who wins gets it right. And I know it's fine for the public to do that. But I think people analysing the game in a professional sense have a responsibility, and not to lead that charge very often. And I'm afraid sometimes they do. And I think the art of the whole business of punditry is suffering as a result, because it's the dramatic. Somebody is wrong. He's wrong. And I think it's not serving the game or punditry very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think too that there may be agendas, unknown agendas, you know, at times, and it can be very hurtful on people. And we must, I know there was criticism of Brian Cody last weekend for some reason or another. And I do think that was nitpicked out of something that was probably very innocent and probably something that he overlooked. And there's a tendency to do that now. Well, that didn't happen in the past and you just got on with it. And that's the world we live in, so we have to deal with it. But, you know, these people are amateurs. These people are given huge, huge service and time to their not only to their county, but to their communities. And I think people have to be aware of that when the criticism falls at them. I know some of the pundits, maybe Martin's correct, maybe they're grabbing a headline, or, you know, they have no other way of looking at it. But I think deep down, if you look at the game and you look at the way the games are played now, that everything that can be done by managers, whether they're playing in Donegal, Carlow, whether it's Hurling and Kerry, everything is done to the benefit of the players by the manager. The manager will do whatever. He'll put every system in place. He'll put everything that a player needs, from medical to nutrition to strength and conditioning to psychology. The manager will do that for the players. He's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for the players. And when it goes wrong, then the manager is the one that's held out. But collectively, it has to be about everybody within the group, from the players to the manager, but more so the players, because they're the ones that play. They're the ones that get the joy out of going out and playing. And they are picked as the best players in their county or their club. So they have to turn that on. They have to be the players that they have to be on the day, not the manager. And I think people need to reflect on the criticism that they fire at managers, whether it be Jim Gavin, Desi Farrell, Declan Bonner, or Kieran McGinney. I think it's important that they do that.
And listen, I know I don't know everyone in both camps, but I do know some people, and the people outside, you know, I think it was Mick McCarthy who famously said, I'd rather someone inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. The people that are inside the camp in both Donegal and Armagh seem to just have utmost respect and time for the dedication and passion that both Declan and Kieran have for their teams. And it's the criticism coming outside that can be harsh, but I don't know how much Kieran McGinney and Declan Bonner would buy into that.
Yeah, but Conor, they may not, but people's families are affected as well. I mean, we saw it, for instance, with Andy McEntee, and I see his son had to come out and explain that, you know, there was rumour that the Meath County Board had paid to fly Shane back home for a game, and it wasn't true. And the family have come out and said the abuse he got through social media, whatever. Like, he gave it his best shot for 6 years. And as I say, the camp may be able to close down as best they can, but people's families are affected as well. And there's actually no answer to this, I'm afraid, because that's the world we live in. But I think the people involved at a professional level, at a punditry level, should be aware of that, and not just instead of baiting those people almost, that they should be a little bit more responsible in how they assess. It isn't black and white. It never is. It's grey. I mean, we had an example after the Galway Kilkenny game, for instance, where RTE showed a slow motion shot of Brian Cody and Henry Shefflin. It lasted for something like 25 seconds. Now, that's a hell of a long time of television time where we'll slow down. And also think of it, if you slow down a handshake, I think that sort of thing, that's baiting people to some degree. And I think the professional media have responsibility to behave better than that.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's going to leave for an intriguing game anyways, because there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. And someone's going to be flying high into Crow Park into the All-Ireland quarterfinal, and someone's going to have a lot of questions to answer for. Manus, before we run out the gate, predictions please for Sunday, and how do you think the game's going to go down? Matchups, we could see probably a repeat. We'll see Brendan McCall, Henri O'Neill. How do we think? We have Aidan Nugent back, and RMI scored the goal the last day. Style of play, matchups, and predictions please.
I think after watching the Tyrone game, I think you'll see Ryan O'Neill in a more withdrawn role maybe than he did play against Donegal. So that'll suit Donegal. But they'll have to be mindful of Nugent and Duffy inside, who are two really sharp men inside that can win their own ball and are not afraid to take on the player. So that'll leave McMenamin. I think he'll definitely pick up Duffy and maybe McFadden Ferry may pick up Nugent, but it's hard to know. It's hard to know what plan Caelan Ward will be there as well. But I think it'll be more open than the game Balbuffet. I think both teams will go at it because they know it's the last ditch at it. And you know, there's just a sneaky feeling after talking to a number of the Donegal players last week that bite and that hunger and that maybe idea that the Derry poked the bear last Sunday and raised a few reactions from them. And there's players in their last year, maybe their last 2 years of playing for Donegal, and they'll not want to go out like that. So I would see a reaction from Donegal and hopefully a Donegal victory.
And Martin, Kieran Macken could be back in the starting fold around the middle of the park. I know the first day out, Ethan Rafferty's kickouts, there was no plan B and Donegal bought into that. And then Ethan Rafferty comes up the field the last day against Tyrone and scores 2 points. So we could probably see something along that as well.
Well, I doubt we'll see that again, because I think for any position to let a goalkeeper up untouched by human hand almost to kick 2 points. I mean, where what are we at? I mean, you could have all the plans you like. And is it now plans by number? But a fella is in a kicking position, whether he's a goalkeeper or not, he's got to be closed out. I think Manus is right. I think it'll be a far more open game. Donegal played a very close game, shall we say, in the Ulster final. It didn't work. This is the last chance for them for this year. I think they will go out and be far more adventurous, and I think they'll win.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. My thanks to Manus Boyle and to Martin Brettany for joining us here on the Donegal GAA podcast, and thanks to you, our loyal listeners. You need no reminder that Donegal face Armagh this Sunday in Clonus with an All-Ireland quarterfinal up for grabs. That match is live on Ocean FM with commentary from Paddy McGill at 4 o'clock. Until next time, my name's Conor Breslin. Take care and bye for now.
FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
And remember that Donegal Plumbing and Heating are also facilitating our live coverage this Sunday from Clonus. Donegal against Armagh is live from 4, as Conor mentioned. And don't forget that the Donegal pod is also available online by searching for Ocean FM Ireland wherever you get your podcasts. We'll have another one after Sunday's game. It'll be online from Sunday evening, somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m. Before all that, Donegal's women's Gaelic footballers begin their All-Ireland series. They're in a three-team group, along with Munster champions Cork and Waterford, who are Donegal's first opponents in Birr in County Offaly this Saturday at 5 o'clock. Now, it's been a season of near misses for Maxi Curran's team so far this year. Beaten by Meath in the Division 1 National League final, beaten by Armagh by a point in that Ulster final. Team captain Niamh McLaughlin wants that pattern to change.
It seems to be the same old story with us year after year. We go very close to Dublin, the Corks, whatever it is, but we just fall short of that line. So this is another hurdle that we need to push on with, you know, and get a bit of silver well. So look, as I said, we'll be looking to push forward now for championship and go from there, you know.
And the TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Football Championship has 13 counties participating. They're divided into four groups. The first group has got four teams, and then there are three-team groups, Donegal in Group D, along with Cork and Waterford. The top two counties from each group will qualify for the All-Ireland quarter-finals. Next to athletics, Drumshanbo's Ricky Wynn is attempting a unique endurance challenge on Saturday to raise money for the Motor Neuron Disease Association. He's going to run up and down Croagh-Patrick in County Mayo continuously for 24 hours. Ricky is an experienced endurance runner.
I'm going to attempt to run up and down Croagh-Patrick, which is 764 metres, and I'm going to attempt to run up and down it for 24 hours. And in that, I'm trying to break a world record, which would mean I would have to go up and down 15 times.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready for this. I've been training for a couple of months now. I had a race 2 weeks ago up in Donegal, and my trainer for that has me in good stead for this challenge ahead. But like, make no mistake, it's going to be a tough, tough day.
And what has prompted you to take this challenge on?
Well, I'm doing it mainly to raise money for motor neuron disease. Motor neuron disease, it's something that's pretty close to my heart, because where I'm from, there was two local men. One man, tragically, he passed away since, Joe Brennan, his name. And another man is currently suffering with the disease. His name's Eamon Reynolds, and he's a very good friend of mine, and he was diagnosed with the illness about 7 months ago, and I just felt I needed to do something, and I thought, what better way for me to actually push my body to the limits when these people are getting those limits taken away from their bodies.
Will you be able to take a break at all on Saturday?
A friend of mine has like done a strategic kind of a plan for me, which means I need to go up and down Croagh-Patrick in an hour and 36 minutes for 24 hours to get 15. Now, in that, I might be able to do one or two a little bit quicker, but really, I need to be going forward for 24 hours, pretty much. I'm not going to have too much time to be sitting around.
We know from Croagh-Patrick Pilgrims that walking up that mountain is a challenge in itself. You're going to try and run up and down it maybe 15 times. That's quite something.
Yeah, but for anyone that doesn't know me, I'm very used to running up and down Croagh-Patrick. It's where I train. I do a lot of mountain running, and Croagh-Patrick is my main training ground. My wife is from Westport, her family's from Westport, so I spend a lot of time down there climbing that reek, and I've been known to go up and down it five or six times on a Saturday and maybe three or four on a Sunday, you know, so I'm well used to Croagh-Patrick.
Well, we wish you luck with it. You're raising money for the Motor Neuron Disease Association. If people would like to make a donation, Ricky, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can go on to idonate.ie, and if they put in www.idonate.ie/Ricky Wynn, or if they follow me on Instagram, which is RickyWynn10, @RickyWynn10, or on Facebook, again, it's just Ricky Wynn, there'll be a donation. There'll be a donation link in my bio and my profile.
That's Drumshanbo's Ricky Wynn. And if you'd like to make a donation, visit idonate.ie/Ricky Wynn. And that's Ricky spelt with an I at the end. There's no E or I-C-K-I for a very worthy cause. We wish him luck when he begins his run up and down Croagh-Patrick on Saturday morning. A reminder that The Final Whistle is also available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland to find it. We'll bring you news of the Gaynor Cup under 14 draw when it's made at the top of the hour. Keep an eye on the Ocean FM Sport Twitter feed. We're back next week, same time, same place.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.